Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verses 10 through 16. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside and the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him who is full of days. And their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Nor do they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is the rest for the weary and the guiltless sacrifice for the guilty, dear fellow redeemed. This morning, we're beginning a four-week journey through the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied under the last six kings of Judah, during the years from about 626 to 586 B.C. And during those 40 years, Jeremiah faced a people that were wandering away from the Lord, but were walking steadfastly toward their own judgment. That's because the prophets, other prophets and the priests, were leading the people into idolatry, into immorality, into violence and injustice. And because of their sinfulness, they hardened their hearts against Jeremiah's prophecy of repentance and changing of their lives. And because of that, the prophet prophesied gloom and doom. The Babylonians would come and soon conquer them and take them away into captivity. So how'd that all happen? How'd that come to pass? It's the age-old story of erosion. You know about erosion. The foundation is eaten away, the walls begin to sag, and then the entire building collapses. Erosion is that way. Not only with structures, but also in our own lives. A habit or way of life that's ungodly, immoral, and unthinkable is tolerated. And once it's tolerated, it finally it's also excused and condoned. And then finally it's endorsed. And finally it's openly defended and looked upon as being acceptable. And that happens, that once solid foundation of a moral structure, washed away. Erosion in the life of a Christian happens so subtly. It is so subtle, it is also so devastating. It happened in the lives of these people from Judah. It's happening in the lives of Americans. And it's happening in your life. And mine too. Our business ethics, our use of our money, our relationship with our spouse, our children, our family, our friends, our recreation and free time activities, our watching of our TV programs, movies, music we listen to, our response to governmental laws, our use of the Word of God and respect for God's Word, all can slowly, subtly, silently erode until we too are living ungodly, immoral lives in certain areas of our life. And while we're free to ignore that erosion, and most people do, we're not free to escape erosion's consequence, erosion's results, the complete collapse of our moral structure or of our faith life. What I gotta do is look at best the past 50 years, just go back to the 1970s, and see what's changed in our society, in our lives. Other than technological and scientific advances, we see that now there is legalized murder of the unborn baby through all 9 months of pregnancy. Legalized gambling in all states, most states in the United States. Homosexuality is looked upon as being an alternate but moral lifestyle, and there's legalized gay marriages. Also, we have legalized pornography. It comes across your cable TV channels. Living together arrangements outside of marriage is the norm today. Also, widespread disregard for attending God's word, hearing his word. The immoral and vulgar cursing and swearing of the average American. And the list goes on and on and on. Well, so all those things listed were not just tolerated, but today are condoned, endorsed, practiced, defended, and even promoted as being acceptable behavior by an average person. And because we live in it, because we're born into it, we're not shocked by it anymore. We're not even saddened by it. That doesn't mean that somehow God has changed in his law, that now those things are morally okay, that was once wrong, now is right, once was immoral, now is moral. It's not God's word that changed. God's laws are still the same. It's we've changed. Our society has changed. God's law is the same. Our morals, our standards have changed. And that's why we've entitled our theme this morning from our sermon text, Why Sin is Still Sin. In our first scripture reading, the Lord calls Jeremiah to proclaim to an ungodly people in Judah who once were very faithful, but now the erosion of immorality had just taken away their faithfulness, and he's to proclaim to them. But in the first verses of our text, Isaiah, Jeremiah says, no one's listening. We read in verse 10, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. When Jeremiah thought of the wickedness of the people to whom he was preaching, he thought his ministry was hopeless. It was no good. People weren't listening. They had uncircumcised ears, meaning there was fat all over their ears. They couldn't hear any longer. They refused to hear. In fact, they looked upon the word not as their delight. They looked upon the word of God as a reproach to them. They ridiculed what God had to say to them. For Jeremiah to preach and to preach and to preach to them seemed pretty useless. He said, therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. The Lord responds and tells him, I'm going to get my word out. It's going to get out to them. Youngest to the oldest, husbands to wives. But it's not going to be a word of grace. It's going to be a word of the law. Word of condemnation, a word of conviction. We see the Lord's indictment of his people in verse 13. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, greed. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. from the rich to the poor, from the least known to the most famous, from young to old, they're filled with greed and desire for more and more and more. Did Jeremiah just write these words the other day? No, he wrote these words 2,500 years ago for the people of Judah. But he also wrote these words for you and for me in modern day America. And if we don't think these words apply to us, then we haven't taken a very good look at ourselves lately. The materialism in our lives, the desire and want for more and more, has affected every single one of us. That's why we have stores open 24 hours a day. That's why we work so hard and so much, because we want to keep our standard of lifestyle the way we are. We don't want to have less. We all want more. We want to have the lifestyle we're accustomed to. The Lord says, even the prophets and even the priests were bad. No exception. They loved the applause of the people. They wanted gifts and the people to praise them. And so they, in turn, changed their message. Jeremiah was saying, gloom and doom. Repent. Change your ways. You'll be carried away. And they said, no. Peace. Peace. God says, where there is no peace. The entire nation had surrendered their morality. They surrendered themselves to greed, to covetousness, to injustice, to violence, immorality. They had bowed down to the greatest idol of all, the idol that receives more worship than any other religion in the world. That idol? Self. Looking to self and the things of this world to satisfy self, which is impossible, because self can never be satisfied. That's the greatest idol of all, wanting to satisfy ourselves. The religious leaders didn't see that as a disease that infected the entire nation. A little bruise, nothing major. They proclaimed the gospel of success, the gospel's prosperity, the gospel of fulfillment, the gospel of having more and more and more, because after all, God's a God of love. So peace, peace, when there is no peace. Religious leaders believe that God's patience would never come to an end. They were God's people. They were children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet, this was a breakdown in the morality of the entire nation, not only morally, but spiritually, and it threatened their very existence. And all the time, the leaders were blind to what was happening. So, do we see the same thing today? Much of the immorality and even ungodliness in our life, it's come up because of some spiritual religious leaders in our day. We have religious leaders today who defend the woman's right to abortion, to killing her unborn child. Religious leaders today who say that homosexuality is a moral stand, different lifestyle, but okay. Religious leaders today that do not condemn premarital living together outside of marriage, or look the other way when there's divorce. They say that disobedience to government is okay if it suits their needs. And they're more concerned about feeding a hungry body than giving the word of God to a dying soul. Some religious leaders today proclaim a moral relativism. That is, where anything goes, because God is a God of love. The Lord, in verse 15, asked the question of the people of Judah, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? He answers the question with no. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Do we remember how to blush? Have we taught our children that some of the rock stars and movie stars of our day don't really dress appropriately? Their songs are not God-pleasing. Their movies are pretty immoral. That speaking like the world speaks is not how God wants us to speak. That's the second commandment. That God does want them to dress modestly and not flaunt their bodies in sexual ways before others. And that sexual intimacy is to be only for those who are married. Sixth commandment. Society tells them just the opposite. Do our children know, and ourselves know, that not hearing the word of God consistently, not respecting the word of God and having our own devotions, despising it, is a sin against the third commandment? You know, it's a lot like driving down the highway. You're riding along, obviously you see a sign, dangerous curve ahead, slow down. You get three responses. You can look at that sign and say, I should slow down. You can ignore the sign and keep on going as fast as you are, or you can oppose the sign and go even faster. But no matter what you do, it's not going to change the sign. There is a dangerous curve ahead, no matter how you respond to that sign. Unfortunately, the children of Israel didn't respond to God's sign, repent, because there's a dangerous curve, the Babylonians are coming. Most of them ignored it, others even opposed it, and they all fell into that dangerous curve and were carried away into captivity. God's law applies the same warning to every single one of us today. This road leads to sin. This sin leads to death. And this sin can lead to unbelief and everlasting damnation. Take heed. Listen to it. Beware. It may not be an enemy nation that overthrows us, but it will be our greatest enemy, Satan, who will take over our heart and our soul if we do not listen to God's word. Why sin is still sin. People today have tried to eradicate sin by ignoring it. But it rears its ugly head every day in our thoughts, in our words, in our loving actions. People have tried to not acknowledge sin, but it still exists. People have tried to change sin by calling it something else, or giving into it, living in it. And that's pretty exciting, but ultimately ends in eternal death. Why sin is still sin? People may have lost sight of sin and tried to change it, but God removed it. Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." The old paths, the good ways, that's the way that Adam and Enoch and Noah walked. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob traveled. Samuel, David, Joshua walked. The way of peace and righteousness through the Messiah, the Savior who has promised to come and give them everlasting life and salvation. The old paths, the good ways that were revealed to them from the prophets of old and that are revealed to us on the pages of God's word. The Lord invited his people to make a choice. Here's the old paths. Here's the good ways. The ways that your forefathers, your patriarchs walked. And they were blessed. And it was well-pleasing to me. They didn't choose those ways. They chose their own way. Their own way that they thought would be better. And it led them to captivity. As believers in Christ, the same choice lies before every single one of us every single day of our lives as we build our faith foundation, as we run our faith's journey. believe and trust in God's promises, rely upon Jesus' forgiveness, everlasting life, look to his word for strength, read his word, hear his word, trust in our Savior's suffering, death, resurrection. Jesus declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then he invites us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Ours is a day in which many have lost sight of the seriousness of sin. And that's why they changed sin to terms such as a character defect or an error in judgment or a slip of the tongue or a moment of weakness or a disease. But God's word plays no word games. God's word calls a sin a sin. God says any breaking of God's commandments, any breaking of his unchangeable laws in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and we get a paycheck. And the paycheck for failing to keep God's glory, failing to keep his word, is death and eternal damnation. We know that sin is still sin and no one can change that. But we also know what happened to our sins. Because Jesus lived a perfectly obedient life, he became that guiltless, perfect sacrifice for us to come and pay for the guilt and the punishment of all of your sins, of every single one of my sins. So our sins have been cast into the depths of the sea. And our God says, he remembers them no more. May we, filled with the power of Christ's resurrection, seek to keep ourselves from being enslaved to our sins. And may we also daily watch so that our faith and our morals do not slowly erode by playing around with sinful thoughts or words or actions, but look alone to the Lord in humble repentance, laying all of our sins at the foot of the cross of Jesus, and then follow the old paths and the good ways by walking in Jesus and his word. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.